Hi and welcome to Discovery Real Time's Essential Fishing Skills with me, Matt Hayes. Now this is the first in a series of five podcasts exclusive to Discovery Real Time, where I'll be guiding you through what I reckon are the five core skills you need to actually begin course fishing. So if you've ever fancied a day's angling but never quite had the nerve to take the plunge, then this series of podcasts is definitely for you. Each episode is packed with hints and tips for the complete beginner, and there's some stuff for the existing fishermen too. I'll be guiding you through the practicalities of the sport from this week, where we consider what kit to buy, how much it costs, through casting a float, plumbing the depth, feeding the fish, and finally, we hope, actually playing fish. So for those of you who've fished before and are perhaps a little bit rusty, then let me tell you how dramatically things have changed over the past few years. With some of my best fishing mates, I'll be discussing the state of modern angling, from the incredible, affordable modern kit through to some of the key issues that are affecting the sport today. Now, if all of this seems like it might be a lot to take in one go, then don't fret, because those kindly chaps at Discovery Real Time have put all sorts of useful information online at realtimetv.co.uk/fishing. We'll be adding images so you can actually see what we're up to, relevant web links, and we'll even chuck in some free stuff to help get you started. Yes, that's right, we'll be giving away prizes, which you'll learn more about later on. Okay, so let's get this show on the road. Now, to help me in this podcast, I've brought along two of my best fishing mates. I've got Ed Brown from Furnace Mill, and you've probably seen me on the telly a couple of times with Ed, as you may have done with my other guest, which is Stuart Allam. Now, Stuart may be less well known to you, but actually, if you want to blame anyone for the professional fisherman that is Matt Hayes, it's Stuart Allam, because I met you, Stu, I think it's over 20 years ago now.
It must be, getting on for that, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
On the Medway. And you very much encouraged me to take up fishing as a career, and we'll perhaps talk more about that later. But anyway, that's the guys. We're here to talk about kit, first of all, because you can't go fishing without any fishing tackle. So, Ed, you run a very busy, popular day ticket fishery. You get a lot of beginners down there. You must have a good idea of what sort of kit people need. What's your recommendation?
Yeah, well, I reckon that, to start with, keep it really simple. Go along, get yourself a 12 or 13 foot match rod, a reel loaded with sort of 4 or 5 pound breaking strain line. Pop into your local tackle shop. They often know the areas, whereabouts you're fishing, the type of fisheries, type of fish you're going to be fishing for, and they'll offer you a lot of assistance. The other thing is you can get complete kits, and that'll get you started. Just really simple. Don't make it too complicated. One rod will get you started and out on the bank.
So, Stu, I mean, what's your opinion on this?
No, I agree totally with Ed there, Matt. The sort of rod I think you need to start off with would be, a float rod of about 12 or 13 feet with a nice through action, a rod that can handle lines in the mid-range from, say, 3 to 5 pound breaking strain, and that'll catch you anything from a small roach in your local pond up to perhaps a 10 or 12 pound carp.
These rods have changed so much, actually, haven't they, Ed, from the traditional match rod that we use when we started, which was really designed for very light hook lengths, small silverfish like roach.
Absolutely, yeah. Even, you know, they had sort of very fine tops, splice tops even.
And now they can handle what? Carp up to 10 pounds and
easy
tench.
Yeah.
And yet they'll still cope with the small fish. So the modern match rod of the sort of what we call carp action or power match rod can actually catch the small stuff and make that fun, but you can still land the big fish as well, so they're perfect.
Absolutely. It saves you accumulating hundreds of rods when one will do the job.
Yeah. Now, let's just go through that checklist again then, chap. So, if you're a beginner, starting out for the first time, you go down to your local tackle shop, what you're looking to buy, you want a 12 or 13 foot float rod.
Yeah.
Preferably a sort of carp match type action. You want a fixed ball reel.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded with 3 or 4 pound line, you think, Ed?
Yeah, say 3 to 5 pound yeah line, really.
Yep, and we'll look later on, actually, at how you should load that reel up, because, in actual fact, that's very important. It does affect your casting if you don't know how to load the reel properly. You need some floats. Basically, you need what we call waggler floats, insert waggler floats, which have got a nice fine top for bite detection. What else?
You'll need shot to weight the float down. You'll need some hooks, And then we'll get on, you'll need other things like plummets to test the depth and other bits of kit like disgorgers, which is to remove the hook.
And a landing net.
Yeah, some rod rests and little accessories like that just to make your day comfortable by sitting by the water.
And how much money do you think people should be looking to spend to kit themselves up, just go for their first fishing session?
I think you could get a really good assortment of gear now together for your first fishing trip for probably less than £80.
Yeah.
Really?
I think between 80, 120. Mm. Ed?
Yeah, I would say so. I'd agree with that, yeah.
Just meandering slightly, chaps, off the subject. Ed, you mentioned the term commercial fishery. Fisheries have changed enormously since when I was a kid. I mean, all we had to fish for was gudgeon in the local cut. Just tell everybody what the modern fishery's about, Stu.
Oh, it's completely changed since when I was a lad. I mean, when I started fishing, you were restricted probably to the local ponds in your area. And if you were lucky enough to have a river nearby, or maybe a canal. Nowadays, we've got these huge gravel pits, which have appeared since the 1960s as the road building program has really kicked in. And we've also got these new commercial fisheries, as they're known, which are smaller waters, man-made waters, often built on farms and stocked heavily with carp and other coarse fish, which appeal greatly to both the beginner and, of course, the competition fisherman who likes to catch a lot of fish. Mm. And those waters are now very accessible right across the country, even in places like Scotland, where up to, say, 20 years ago, there were relatively few opportunities for coarse fishing. So coarse fishing is much more accessible now than it was when I started.
You know what? I think the biggest difference, though, is that you can actually catch something. Yeah. You know, and in a way, I mean, I've got mixed feelings because I think, well, maybe people are spoilt. But, Ed, I mean, you run what I consider to be at Furnace Mill the nicest commercial fishery that I've been to. You've got a lot of fish in there, but it's not just the catching the fish, is it?
No, that's very kind of you to say you like our fishery so much. Ours, it's very accessible. We're a relaxed commercial fishery, I'd call ourselves, where the people we get are friendly, they'll talk to you, they'll help you out, you know, and I'm often there, or whoever's looking after the place, if I don't happen to be there, we're all fishermen and we all like to try and pass on any sort of knowledge and experiences we can. Mm. So, you know, we're there to help in its relaxed atmosphere.
But when you go there, I mean, I'm not joking when I say as a kid, we fished the local canal for gudgeon. And you might catch 100 gudgeon a day, because effectively, I mean, gudgeons are very small fish that grubs around on the bottom, and they're pretty stupid. I mean, they'll take, you know, a shriveled maggot, sort of, you use the same maggot 100 times and catch 100 gudgeon on it. But nowadays, people in their first fishing experience, they can catch tench, they can catch carp. When I was a kid, we thought that carp were uncatchable. Did you think that?
Well, there were so few of them, of course, Matt, in those days. And those fish that...
I mean, this was before the Boer War.
It was just about then, I think. Television had just about been invented.
No, sorry, go on.
But, yes, the carp in my youth, were in your local pond, would have been an old established strain of fish that had been there many years. They knew all the tricks. They weren't particularly numerous. And also the gear you had in those days wasn't always up to landing them. Mm. You might have been using a rod made of Spanish reed with a spliced-in fiberglass top or something like that. It didn't have the through action of today's rods. The reels, the clutches on the reels were much stiffer. And you were so used to catching really small fish at the time. And then, of course, when you got stuck into something of 3 or 4 pounds, broke you up before you knew what happened. Yeah.
Do you know, I worked it out the other day. I was 18 before I caught my first tench. And I was 19 before I've caught my first carp. Compare that with today. I'm a young lad. I come across Furnace Mill this morning. I set up on the bank. What can I expect to catch on my first day's fishing?
You could catch roach, rudd, tench, carp, bream, perch, chub, any one of those. With places like Furnace Mill, you never know what's going to be on your line when your float goes under. Mm.
And that's magic, really. For anyone's side, I've always felt the most important thing for someone who's going fishing for the first time is to get bites.
Yeah, not the size of the fish, it's getting those bites. That's what keeps youngsters interested. Mm. It's no good going out on your first trip and trying to catch a 40-pound carp and sitting behind a battery of rods all day long. It's just not interesting for a youngster when they first start. They want to get plenty of action And the sort of fishery that Ed's talking about is absolutely ideal. Nice surroundings, nice safe place to go and fish, good company, and plenty of bites.
Now, you mentioned youngsters, but, I mean, you can't forget the grey pound, mate.
Well, no.
Can you? I mean...
Being one of them.
This is the interesting... I mean, you must see this, Ed, at Furnace Mill, the people that roll up. A lot of people now are retiring in their 50s, in their early 60s, and hopefully they've got a lot of fishing time left in front of them. People are living longer, and people are taking up the sport at early retirement age, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of our customers that come to us are early retirement, and they may have fished a little bit when they were youngsters, had to work, been very busy, and then taken it up again during retirement. Of course, it's moved on, and they're starting out basically again. And we get youngsters, children from about 4 years of age, which is when I started fishing. They come along and they can catch instantly, basically.
Yeah.
So
we want you all, folks. We want you all, because we want fishing to continue to thrive for the next 100 years or so, long after we've shuffled off this mortal coil. Just a quick anecdote, Ed. What was the first fish you caught?
Well, the first fish I caught wasn't actually a living creature. It was a fish finger that my auntie coaxed me away and told me it was lunchtime. And I was fishing a winterbourne river in Dorset with no fish in, because basically it dried up in the summer. And she called me away and stuck a frozen fish finger on my line when I was 4 years old. And I've been hooked ever since then, really.
Wow. And what about that story, Stu, about your first pike? I mean, that's a cracker.
Yes, that's quite a memorable tale, that. I think I must have been about 12 years old at the time, and I'd been dying to catch a pike for ages. And eventually I caught this pike, and it was a fish of about 5 pounds in weight. And unfortunately, as was the custom at that time, I killed it and took it home intending to eat it. But my parents had no intention of cooking this thing. But my dad did suggest that I maybe take it to an elderly neighbour across the road, who was a foreign gentleman who was interested. You know, he'd eaten coarse fish in the past and he quite fancied a pike. So I took it across there and I said, would you like this pike? And he said, yes, but would you mind cleaning it for me first? Well, by cleaning a fish, what we mean is removing the head and the insides of the fish so it's ready for cooking. But I didn't know what he meant, so I took the fish home. And I thought, what does he mean by cleaning it? So I got this bucket, I filled it up with detergent, I got a scrubbing brush, and I cleaned that fish as best I could. Took it back across the road, knocked on the door, and I said, I've cleaned the pike for you, and I held it up. He said, oh, don't appear to have done much. I said, no, I've cleaned it. So I gave it to him, and apparently he took it and put it in the oven, and about a couple of hours later, him and his wife sat down for their lunch. He went to get the pike out of the oven, opened the oven door, and a big cloud of bubbles burst forth. Don't know how well it went down. He said it was a bit muddy tasting.
Well, on that rather frivolous note, I think it's time to move on. We've talked about the kit that you need. Don't forget, if you want to check out our checklist, you can do so on our website, which is online at realtimetv.co.uk/fishing, and you'll find the list of kit that you need to get from the tackle shop there. What is very important is when you have brought that kit with you to the bank and you want to start fishing, you need to know how to set it up, and that's exactly what we're going to go outside and do right now. Well, as you've probably gathered by the birdsong that's sort of twittering away from the trees around us, we're outside at the Watermark Fishery in the Cotswolds. This is a wonderful place to come fishing. They've got all kinds of fishing here. Let me just describe the scene in front of you. We're surrounded by trees. It's a lovely, warm, sunny day, and it's perfect for fishing. Right in front of us is a small pool that's absolutely full of carp. It's the sort of place that people try fishing on for the first time. And we've got some beginners here today, which is fantastic. I'm going to do some fishing in a minute. We've also got several other pools. There's a trout lake just behind that one, and then several other gravel pits, which has got some very nice fish for the more advanced fishermen, carp and pike, here on the complex as well. But we're going to concentrate on this small lake. Before I can fish, though, and I've got Stuart here with me, Stu, you've got to put the kit together. And even before you come to the water, there is one thing you must do, which is to fill up the spool of the reel with line.
You're absolutely right, Matt. And one mistake a lot of beginners make is they simply don't fill that spool up enough.
They leave a big gap between the line and the edge of the spool, and that, of course, limits their casting enormously. So the one thing you've got to do with a fixed spool reel, and it's one of the most important things you can remember, fill that line up to the edge of the spool.
Now, just in case you're having trouble visualising that, we've got that on our website for you. There is a diagram of how the line should look when it's correctly filled up on the reel. Now, one of the things you'll find interesting about the reel, and I'm literally holding the rod in my left hand at the moment, and I'm just turning the spool on the reel just round so that I can see its line capacity. All modern fishing reels will have the line capacity printed on the side of the spool. It will tell you for the diameter of line that you're using, which in this case is 014.14, it needs 170 metres of line to fill it up. So check that out before you fill it, because you need to buy enough line to fill the spool correctly. Monofilament is pretty cheap these days. You can buy a good spool of line for around about a fiver and you'll get several hundred metres, enough to fill your match reel spool up, absolutely no problem. So that's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is, if you don't fill that spool up correctly, as Stuart quite rightly said, you will have problems casting. So get that part of the operation right. Stu, you need a knot to connect the line to the spool. We've got that again on the website, yes, so people can study that. But having tied on that knot, how do you actually get the line onto the reel?
The best way to do it, Matt, is to actually, with the spool that you're given with a line on, that you buy the line on, put a pencil through the slot in the centre of that spool, get a friend to hold it, and you wind the line onto the reel while he holds that under tension.
Okay.
Just
so
it basically gives a slight tension.
They're holding the pencil, they've got one hand to the left, one hand to the right,
just using their thumb
spool
as a
in the middle, and you use your thumbs just to slow down the spool to stop it overloading. Yeah. So you're winding on and your friend's controlling the flow of line
it's
off the spool.
It's important, I think, to mention that if you try to do it by yourself, if you don't use that pencil technique and the line's not coming off the front of that spool when you're winding it on, if it's coming off in coils and you're just leaving the thing on the floor, you can actually get a lot of wind, like knots form in the line, coils form in the line, which will give you trouble later
and
on.
And line twist,
which is
awful.
You're winding twist onto the reel.
Absolutely. Now, once you've filled up your reel correctly, you're ready to actually assemble your kit. And that really is quite simple. Just take the rod out of its bag, screw the reel onto the reel seat. You'll pretty well figure out how that works. That's fairly simple screw type fitting on just about every rod I can think of. So that's fairly obvious. Obviously, you've got the spool facing up the rod towards the rod rings. Next stage of the operation, and this is very important, and you need to understand how a reel works fundamentally to be able to do this, you'll find that there's basically a wire arm on your reel. We call it a bail arm. Basically, a piece of wire that winds line onto the reel. But in order to actually thread the line through your rod rings, you need to open the bail arm, which opens with a positive click. I've just done it now. And now I can take line and work up the rod, threading the line through the guides, and it's very important here that you don't miss any out. So for those of you with slightly dodgy eyesight, pay very close attention to this part, because it is so easy to miss a guide out. And if you do that, it will cut down again on your casting and it can lead to tangles. So just to recap, to thread the line through the rod rings, put the reel onto the rod, now open the bail arm, it opens with a positive click, and then thread the line up through every one of the guides until you reach the top guide, which is what I'm doing now, and I'm just drawing the line up the rod through each guide until I'm at the tip ring, and then I just draw the line through the tip ring, and now I'm allowing myself about 2 metres of line outside the rod. I'm ready to put the float on, but first I've got to close the bail arm, and there's an easy way to do that. You just literally wind the reel handle half a turn and it clicks back on. So now the bail arm is engaged and the reel is in winding mode. Now, when you put your float on, it's a fairly simple operation. When you start fishing, you'll probably be using a float called a waggler. It's a long, thin float. It's got what we call an inserted tip, which is a fairly fine tip. That will give you better bite sensitivity, but essentially the way a waggler float is put on the line, and again you'll find this illustrated on our website, you literally thread the line through the base of the float, the little hole at the bottom of the float, up on the line, and then the shots are placed either side of the float. Most of the shot that you use should be located around the base of the float, with some smaller shots like number sixes and number eight shots down the line. Now, to make this simple for you, again, we've illustrated it on the website. Just log on to realtimetv.co.uk/fishing and you'll see an illustration of typically how to shot up the float. The shots are fairly easy to put on these days, Stuart, aren't they?
Yes, they are, Matt. Just finger tension is all that's required.
So, basically, when you're going to put a shot on the line, just locate the line in the groove on the shot and then squeeze it with your forefinger and your thumb until it grips the line nice and tightly.
Yes, you don't have to bite down on it and crimp the line or risk damaging your line at all.
So, I've now put the float on the line. I'm just going to add some shots. As I say, the heavier shots that are required to cock the float go either side of it. It's hanging on the line and basically the line is passed through the bottom eye and I've got three shots around the float, directly around the base of the float. I've got one double A above and two double A's below. They're locking the float in place on the line, and then below that I've got some smaller shots, some number eights, just to help the bait fall through the water and assist me with the bite detection. One of the things you'll find very useful if you're new to fishing are what we call hooks to nylon. These are basically hooks that have been pre-tied to pieces of nylon and they form what we call our hook length. And to attach them, it's very, very simple. You basically form a loop in the end of your main line, that's your main fishing line, and there's already a loop on the hook link. And to connect them together, you use what we call a loop-to-loop connection. And once again, just to make things very, very easy for you, you'll find details of how to do that on our website. Now, when you go fishing for the first time, the sort of kit that you should buy, we've mentioned floats. I'm using a 3AA Waggler float, which is absolutely perfect. I've got a mixed box of shots, so I've got just the right shots to dot the float down to the its correct position in the water. I've got a packet of hooks to nylon, and inside this packet, and I'm using size 16 barbless hooks tied to 3.2 pound nylon. Very, very easy, very simple kit you can get in just about every single tackle shop in the country. And once you know how to put it together, basically, you're almost ready to start fishing.
So let me introduce myself. I'm Barry Hearn. I'm the chairman of Matchroom Sport, one of the world's largest sports promoters, and of course famous for inventing Fishermania, the world's biggest fishing event. My first fish is easy to remember. I used to live on the Debden Industrial Estate, just outside of East London, and we would fish the River Roding. But in those days, and this sounds like a Monty Python story, we were so poor, but we had no rods, and we would take linen cloths, and we would scoop under the reeds in the water ourselves. My first fish was therefore about a 2-inch stickleback. But the love affair began when I was young, and my love of fish has continued. Fishing has continued ever since.
Well, my name is Roland Scholten. I'm one of the Dutch dart players, professional dart player, and I'm living in Holland, where we do a lot of fishing. And one of the actual fishes I've caught, I can't really recall because it's such a long time ago here in Holland. Everybody starts fishing at a very, very young age. We're actually all born with a rod in our hands, something like that. And it must have been with me old man when I was starting fishing for all sorts, little ones. And the biggest one I can remember, or the earliest one I can remember, must have been a little carp, because I'm a very enthusiastic carp fisher at the moment.
Hello, I'm Phil the Power Taylor. I'm the World Darts Champion. It was a gudgeon in the canals. First place we ever fished was the canal.
Hi, my name's Kieran Cunningham, St. Helens and Great Britain Rugby League player. My first experience of fishing was I was 7 years old. And there was a local water near me in St. Helens. It's a tiny little pond. And I was literally just walking around and borrowed a rod off a friend. And I caught, in my eyes, I was 7 years old, and I caught a perch. It seemed like an absolute monster. It was over a pound. And then from then on, I went home and pestered my mum to death to get me a little fishing rod. So I got the cheap and cheerful up and down starting rod and reel, and that was me. So every day after school, I was at the water and I'm fishing away.
So before we move swiftly on, if you're confusing your mackerels with your minnows, the fish list at realtimetv.co.uk/fishing is the definitive guide to fish varieties found in British waters. So don't forget to check that out. It's competition time now, and we've put together some great prizes for you. Top prize today is a Total Fishing Gear starter kit. Now, it was designed by myself. In the kit, you'll find just about everything you need to start coarse fishing. There's a beautiful carbon fibre rod, a superb fixed spool reel with an excellent drag, enough line to fill the reel up, shots, hooks and floats all together. All you'll need to buy extra to go fishing with is a seat, a landing net and a plummet, and you're literally ready to go. We've got one of those prizes to give away for our lucky winner, but there's more because we've also got prizes from Dynamite Baits. These are perfect for the sort of waters that you're likely to go on fishing for the first time. We've got 10 packs of Silver X to give away. And in order to win one of these prizes, you need to log on to the website. You'll find the terms and conditions on there, along with the closing date for the entries. But of course, you'll also need to answer this question correctly. So here it is. I'm fishing today at a fishery in the Cotswolds. Is it answer A, the watershed fishery? Answer B, the watermark fishery? Or answer C, the water course fishery? Now, if you can answer that question correctly on the website, then you might win one of those fabulous starter kit or ground bait prizes. Good luck. Okay, folks, that's just about all we've got time for. Thanks, of course, to the boys for coming along. We're all gagging to go fishing, you know, but you've done a great job, boys. Well done. And before I go, can I just thank the Watermark Fishery, who have been superb today. That just about wraps it up. One thing I should remind you about is to download our next podcast, which is on another key skill of fishing. This one's all about casting. Very important skill in fishing, so don't miss that. And finally, for those of you who can't wait to get another fishing fix, let me just remind you that Real Time is very much the home of fishing on TV. Discovery Real Time, that is, of course. And I should know, I've made about 11 series for them now. For those of you who want to check out the fantastic array of fishing programmes on Discovery Real Time, it's available on cable and satellite TV. It's on Sky, NTL, Telewest and Home Choice. And with that, I'm going fishing. See ya.